It's 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, here today and this week filling in for Joy Cardine. Now that the Wisconsin State Senate has rejected legislation that would have streamlined the mining permitting process in the state, GoGibbick Taconite says it is ending plans to invest in a Wisconsin mine. So, for the moment anyway, it appears there will be no mining in Wisconsin. And how do you feel about that? This hour, we'll be taking a look at the fallout from the Senate vote from two different angles. We'll begin during the first part of the hour with Carrie Schumann, the executive director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. She says the vote the Senate took was the right way to go. After 7:30, we'll be joined by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Representative. WMC calls the Senate vote a dark spot on an otherwise pro-jobs legislative session. So how do you feel about the state of mining in Wisconsin following the vote by the state Senate? Are you glad that the Senate pulled the bill, or do you think lawmakers blew it by not passing it, or by not reaching a compromise of some sort? And what would you like to see happen next? Governor Walker has indicated he may call a special session on mining. Do you think that's a good idea? Call with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. That is 800-642-1234. Email is another good way to get in touch with us. That address is talk@wpr.org. And you can post your message if you'd like. Post your comment for the world to see on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's welcome Carrie Schumann in from the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Glad to have you along. I want to start with kind of your general reaction to the vote that the Senate took. As we watched it unfold over the last couple of weeks and the various compromises going back and forth and forth and back and so on, were you particularly surprised at how it all wound up?
Not all that surprised, and the reason we weren't is that the thing that we've seen over and over and over over the past year is that Wisconsinites don't want to see environmental protections and public health protections weakened for a mining interest. That doesn't mean that people are opposed to mining, but they want to make sure that if there are mines in Wisconsin that they don't harm our drinking water in particular, that people can still count on having safe water to drink, that they don't harm our trout streams and our the places where we recreate. And so because public opinion has been so squarely in favor of continuing and protecting health and the environment, we weren't that surprised to see the vote go this way.
And I want to add, just by way of background, has mining been a big issue lately? I mean, I recall the mine in northern Wisconsin near Ladysmith some years ago, but aside from that, I'm having a difficult time remembering a lot of other mining issues that have been before the public.
Well, it's been a while since there was a mining issue before the public, and for this particular issue, you know, the company went to locals in the area around the proposed mine site, which is in the Pinoki Hills in northern Wisconsin, and they started by talking to citizens there about why they wanted to open this iron mine and why it would be good for the community. And the interesting thing is they weren't very honest or transparent with the citizens up there, and originally there was more support for the mine than there was as time went by. The reason that support eroded is as soon as people learned of the bill that the company had helped to draft and was trying to pass through the legislature, they realized that the result of this mine was going to be far, far greater than it would be under existing law. It really would have a huge impact on the drinking water of the communities around the area. It would have a huge impact on the wild rice that the Bad River Tribe harvests from. It would have a huge impact on the wetlands, and hunting is a huge, you know, something people do up there. Trout streams. It was just going to have an impact that was not wanted in the community.
Let's talk about that bill for a second. I mean, there are a number of things in it, as you know, and I want to start actually by talking about the current state of mining regulation in Wisconsin as it's sort of carried out. I mean, there's the state statutes and all that sort of thing in place. The DNR carries it out now. What sorts of, from your vantage point with the League of Conservation Voters, do we have good mining regulations in the state right now, or is there room for improvement?
We do have actually really solid mining laws. Our mining laws allow mining in Wisconsin, but they do it while protecting our drinking water and our environment. It's the smart way to do it. We don't want to say no to mining if there's when there's safe ways to do it. And that we have really good laws in the books right now. Frankly, the best case scenario that we could see is just leaving those laws on the books and just moving forward with, if we're going to have any mining that's very protective of our health.
One of the criticisms that GTEC had of the current mining regulations was this sort of open-ended approval process, and they had asked for a limit to be placed there. I mean, was that an area where you felt that some compromise could have been reached?
Well, it's interesting. That was what they said from day one, is that they needed more certainty in the timelines and how long it took to permit a mine. Well, I think if they'd been really sincere about that, they would have been more interested in negotiating with Senators Schultz and Jauch, who did propose a compromise bill that continued environmental and public health protections, but looked at and addressed those timelines to give them more clarity in how long it would take to get a permit. It didn't seem like the company wanted to negotiate in good faith on that. They just sort of blew that bill off from the get-go. And I think what that shows is that they weren't really interested in doing responsible mining because they weren't interested in negotiating those timelines.
Now, GTEC has been around, right? I mean, they've got mining operations in other parts of the world, other parts of the country?
Well, GTEC is a part of something called the Klein Group, which is a major, huge company that a lot of what they do is coal mining, actually. But, you know, these huge mountaintop removal open pit coal mines that we know from the southeastern states. And, you know, they came to Wisconsin, set up a storefront in Hurley, and I believe iron mining, this would be one of their first forays into iron mining. It's not something they've done a lot of before.
800-642-1234 is the toll-free number you can call if you would like to be part of the discussion this hour. We're talking about kind of the fallout after the Senate vote on mining in Wisconsin earlier this week. We're interested in what you think. Did lawmakers really try to make a deal here, or did the whole thing just fall apart, not reaching a compromise? 800-642-1234. This half hour, we're joined by Carrie Schumann. She is the executive director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, and overall pretty happy with the way things turned out here. And Carrie Schumann, one of the questions I have for you is kind of, as you're reading about this in the media, certainly from my perspective as an outsider, it was hard to tell whether there was real negotiating going on behind the scenes or whether what I was just seeing was sort of the negotiations going on, you know, from newspaper article to the next newspaper article to the next web article and so on. Do you feel that there were real negotiations taking place, or was it just politics for the benefit of people who might be reading about it somewhere?
Well, I think it was a little bit of a mixed bag. It was definitely the case that Senator Schultz and Senator Jauch were really interested in coming up with a piece of legislation that would give certainty to the mining company while also protecting our health and the environment. They went and they talked to citizens all across the state. They went and toured the area around the mine and talked to families, local families who would be impacted by it. They really did their due diligence to figure out come up with a compromise that will work for everyone. The flip side of that, though, is that what was on the other side of this issue was people like Governor Walker and Representative Voss, who really were kind of locked into their positions. And although they said they made compromises, the compromises really didn't do anything, didn't address any of the issues that had been raised by citizens all across the state over the last year. Issues like, will my drinking water be safe? Do I know that my favorite trout stream will still be there for fishing next season? Those were the kind of questions people were asking, and they didn't address those at all.
And let's talk about, you mentioned earlier what you felt was a good compromise offered by Senator Jauch and Senator Schultz on the time issue. Were there other areas where the Senator Jauch and Schultz were willing to compromise? And if so, were there areas that you were comfortable with?
Well, the big thing was the timelines, and the reason that was the big piece is that from day one, that was the thing that the mining company said they needed. They needed certainty in the timelines, and so Senator Schultz and Jauch were really trying to address that. But we really, really support the fact that both of those senators were very clearly saying we cannot do this in a way that puts our citizens at risk. I mean, I'm a parent, and I think about living you know, close to where the mine was proposed, and not knowing if the drinking water, glass of water I'm handing to my daughter is safe, that concerns me a lot. And that was what we were hearing from people who lived near the proposed mine site. We really appreciate that Senators Jauk and Schultz kept that at the front of their mind through this whole thing, that we cannot put people at risk.
And I also wanted to ask just a little bit about the process, because if you were watching it from the outside, it was sort of confusing. There was an assembly bill, and then there was a separate legislation in the Senate, and then all of a sudden that legislation got pulled, and we're looking at the assembly stuff again. And then there was some pushback from the tribes who were concerned that they weren't part of the whole process. Did that confuse the issue in your mind, or did that add to people having concerns about what would ultimately could happen?
Oh, there's no question that added to the concerns. There was, people probably don't even remember because it's been a while, but back in last spring, the bill was originally a draft of the bill was tossed out and then immediately pulled back in the legislature. And nobody knew what it was about. And then there was sort of this silence for a while. And then all of a sudden it was back. It was a terrible bill that was harmed, Wisconsin citizens and our environment. And the original plan in the legislature was just to ram it through really quickly and not go ahead with the mining committee that was supposed to really look at this issue and take public hearings. The first hearing that was then held was in West Allis, which is about as far from the mine site as you could possibly get. So people who live near the mine initially couldn't get down here, although then we were able to bring a busload of people down so that they could get here, get down to West Allis for the hearing. The whole thing has been secretive. As far as we can tell, it was written mostly by the mining company. It was very secretive. The whole process was so undemocratic, and it's not the way we do things in Wisconsin. We have always had a very open and very democratic process. And again, we appreciate that Senator Jauk and Senator Schultz were willing to move forward with a more open democratic process.
We're talking about mining legislation in Wisconsin, and more specifically, the fallout from the Senate vote earlier this week that has pretty much put a stop to mining, at least in the short term, here in Wisconsin. If you'd like to join in, we will be back after a short break. 800-642-1234. We're taking two sides of the issue and beginning the hour with the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. We'll have some reaction to that from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce coming up after 7:30. Wisconsin weather for today, it's going to be partly to mostly cloudy and cooler, a chance of light snow in the northern part of the state with highs in the mid-30s to mid-40s in the south. Tonight, decreasing clouds after midnight, snow showers or flurries are possible in the northeastern half of the state this evening. Temperatures tonight dropping down to about 5 in the northwestern part of the state and the lower 20s in the south. Around Wisconsin, it's 18 in Superior right now, 24 in clear skies in Eau Claire. It's 30 in Wausau, 35 in Green Bay. It's 36 in Appleton, 28 in La Crosse, 35 in Milwaukee. And it's also 35 degrees in Madison. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 21 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here this week filling in for Joy Cardine. We're talking about mining in Wisconsin, specifically after the state Senate rejected a bill to streamline the mine permitting process in the state earlier this week. We're getting two sides to the story. The first part of the hour, we're talking with Kerry Schumann, the executive director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. We'll have Scott Manley from Manufacturers and Commerce up after 7:30. We've got some listeners who would like to join in, so let's get to the phones, and we begin with Chris, who joins us from Racine. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
In the politically charged landscape that we're facing in Wisconsin, and in my opinion, some of the worst I've seen in my some 30 years as a voter, I think it's very difficult for at least me to ignore the motive of the Democrats rejecting the legislation based upon the upcoming recall and depriving Walker from achieving any credit from the additional bills. And I would just like to hear your comments, and I'll stay off the line as to what the feeling is of the political aspect, let alone the actual content of the bill.
Chris, thanks for the call. And Kerry Schumann, it's hard to separate politics from anything in Wisconsin these days.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's a really unfortunate place that we're in, because I think Wisconsin has this rich history that really separated us from politics. We were very good at being very democratic, and this year has seen divides that nobody likes to see. I don't think that the what we saw in the legislature and the Senate was about politics, though. A lot of the polling that's been done, both by conservative groups like Wisconsin Public Research Institute and other polls that have been done, just show that across the board, Wisconsinites don't want to see protections weakened for one special interest mining company. We did a poll a couple of months ago, and it showed that we just flat out asked that question: do you support having these protections weakened? And it was a pretty big divide. 49% said they should not be weakened, while only 34% said they should be weakened. Then you look at basically things like wetlands. People are obviously really concerned about protecting these wetlands areas. When we ask the question of would you support changing wetlands laws for a mine, 69% said they should not be weakened, and 22% said go ahead and change the laws. So you can see that there is an outpouring of public support for public health protections, for environmental protections, and I think it's because it's a deep part of the fabric of this state. We have huge numbers of people who hunt, who fish, who bike and hike and use our outdoor resources, and I think what we saw in the Senate was a reflection of that. We didn't see politics. We saw a reflection of our senators looking at people in Wisconsin, getting huge amounts of input from people in Wisconsin, and saying they don't want to do this at the expense of their public health and environment.
Yeah, but that vote was only 17-16. I mean, it hinged on Senator Schultz, more or less.
That's right. The caller, specifically asked about Democrats, I really truly believe that the reason they voted the way they did is because they saw the huge outpouring of support from citizens for continuing the protections.
But Republicans had that same chance to see that outpouring of support.
Well, so that's why I say that some of this could be about politics. I do have some concerns that the Republicans were trying to basically give a handout to this special interest company, this one mining company from out of state. And one of the things I believe that Senator Schultz said that was really made a lot of sense to me is, if we're going to change our mining laws, they can't be about one company. It can't be one company coming in and saying, this is what we want. It needs to be about what's best for Wisconsin. And the bill they put forward was looking at that more broadly, what's best for Wisconsin. I really think Governor Walker and Senator Fitzgerald, their agenda was to give handouts to this one company and to just, allow them to run roughshod over Wisconsinites. So I think there was politics involved in all of this, but ultimately what we saw was a huge outpouring of support from Wisconsinites for protections, and that's what came through in the end.
Let's see if we can get a few more calls in here. Scott joins us from Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm an independent voter that supports common sense in this state. It's unfortunate that we have this level of politicking, if you will. It would be nice to see from our state the introduction of a third party, and nationally as well, to kind of stop the divisiveness. Because I think Wisconsin loses on two levels. First of all, the bill was just not good, and obviously that's the problem. But then you have the lack of a timeline on this particular situation, and someone throughout the process did not manage this particular bill well in terms of determining a timeline and getting it signed. And something that we don't know very well anymore in Wisconsin, compromising to achieve, common good. And hopefully that can change.
Scott, thanks for the call. Let's go to Chris now, who joins us from Port Wing. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to just point out this morning that there, like any complicated issue, there's really quite a few different sides to this, not just environment and jobs. One of the key issues that we had up here in the Northland was that there was no true cost benefit analysis done. there was a benefit analysis done by Northstar for the company. The mining company paid for that, but we didn't look at the costs. The fact is, when we started to research it ourselves up here, the mine could be a net job loser. You know, the value of clean water in many parts of the economy is usually discounted, and we don't pay attention to the fact that the benefits of our watershed have economic impact throughout all the different layers of the economy. You know, in the Northland, we were never offered any certainty that the mine would provide good jobs, that they would provide long-term jobs. And finally, it really appeared that GTAC was pretty insincere, because when they came up, I went to all the meetings that that Bill Williams held in the public, and they were interesting, but Bill kept saying that they did not want to change mining regulation as far as the environmental quality up here. They were looking for just timeline certainty, which is what the Jouk and Schultz bill did in 13 pages.
I'm afraid we're going to have to let you go, because I want to let Carrie Schumann weigh in before we have to let her go for the morning. But thanks for your comments. We do appreciate those. Carrie, he talked a little bit about the complexity, but my question for you as we end up in the last minute or so here is what next? I mean, the bill is dead for the moment. Anything else to do?
Well, I think the last caller actually brought up some great points. The cost to local citizens, the bill actually did some things in it that put more cost onto the local community than a current mining law does. So they would have incurred huge amounts of costs in the local community that they currently don't under law. So I think that's one issue. And then the other issue really was the lack of transparency and honesty with this company. They came in, they lied to the people of northern Wisconsin, claiming they weren't trying to change the law, and yet they were working feverishly in Madison to do just that. So I think this is absolutely a victory for Wisconsinites, because our drinking water continues to be protected, our trout streams continue to be protected, our pristine
and
areas.
And I'm afraid that's where we'll have to let it go. Carrie Schumann, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And news is next from NPR. It's 25 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here filling in for Joy Cardine this week. This hour, we are talking about mining legislation in Wisconsin and the future of mining in Wisconsin, specifically in the wake of that state Senate vote earlier this week, that 17-16 vote that basically turned down a proposal to change the mine permitting process in the state. We're taking the look at it from two angles. We began the hour with the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. And for the rest of the hour, we welcome in Scott Manley. He is the Director of Environmental and Energy Policy for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. WMC calls the vote a dark spot on an otherwise pro-jobs legislative session, and we'll be getting his take and WMC's take on where we go from here in just a second or so. In the meantime, we'd like to hear from you as well. If you've got thoughts on the future of the state of mining in Wisconsin, give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also join in on email. That address is talk@wpr.org. And you can follow the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and post comments there. Scott Manley, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure. It's good to have you along. WMC posted a comment on their website last night, and I'm just going to read a piece of it there because it's pretty straight ahead. The rejection of this bill is a dark spot in what otherwise has been a very pro-jobs legislative session. The people of Wisconsin deserve better. Manufacturers and commerce, obviously very disappointed.
Well, we're incredibly disappointed because our state has lost a tremendous economic opportunity because of the action taken by 17 senators. We had a company that wanted to come here and invest $1.5 billion in our state's economy, create literally thousands of family-supporting jobs, and really take, although we certainly think that the job impacts would ripple throughout the entire state, the focus of it would be on a portion of the state in northern Wisconsin that's really been having some tough times, for many years. And we had an opportunity to lift people out of poverty, and we missed it.
So what happened? I mean, depending on how you look at that, you can look at it from a number of ways. I mean, a lot of people look at it all sort of hinging on Senator Schultz. But I read an article yesterday, Speaker Fitzgerald on the mine pullout. The Senate managed to screw it up. So was it the process we're talking about here? Was it just one senator who had some ideas that got in the way here, or what?
Well, it took 17 senators to kill the bill. And, you know, we can point fingers at Senator Schultz or whomever, but the reality is that it was 17 no votes. And, you know, you asked about process. I've been in the legislature as either a staff person or a lobbyist now for over 15 years, and I've never seen a bill that received this much scrutiny. There were three public hearings on this bill, including two that happened on the road. Typically, public hearings only happen in Madison. And there were two informational hearings. I mean, I've never seen a bill that had as much process as this one. So I don't think you can blame it on process. I think it ultimately came down to you had senators who either wanted to vote to create mining jobs, or you had senators who wanted to vote to preserve the status quo and keep Wisconsin's status as one of the worst places in the world for mining.
You know, a lot of folks who voted against this piece of legislation will disagree with you on that aspect about jobs. They will say, you know, we're not against mining. We're for jobs. We're against this particular legislation.
Well, that's kind of the old political game that gets played in Madison, where somebody opposes something like mining and they say, well, I'm not against mining. I'm just against this bill. But the reality is you don't get mining unless you get the bill. And, you know, it gets a little bit tiresome and frustrating to hear lawmakers at this point scrambling for cover and scrambling for excuses and saying, you know, I fully support mining, but I wasn't willing to vote for the mining reform bill that would have created mining jobs. You know, I'm afraid that kind of rhetoric just doesn't work. I don't think it's going to work with the voters either. I think the voters are going to see that their actions on the Senate floor on Tuesday speak a lot louder than their words do.
Earlier in the program, we had Carrie Schumann on from Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, and what she says is that the voters were heard, that the poll numbers indicate that Wisconsinites had some concerns about the environmental implications of this proposed bill. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think you can get a poll to say whatever you want a poll to say, and when you do a poll where you mischaracterize what the bill actually does and you make exaggerations about you know, some of the environmental reforms in the bill, you can come up with a poll that makes it look bad. But we've done our own polling, and others have done polling, including Marquette University and Professor Franklin with UW has done some polling. And what we found and what those polls found, and when you ask the question objectively, people are overwhelmingly in support of mining jobs. Look, we're a mining state. Well, we were a mining state, and we aren't anymore, and that's unfortunate because these jobs pay well above the state average. The jobs that we are talking about for this iron mine in northern Wisconsin would have paid $60,000 a year plus another $20,000 in benefits for total compensation of $80,000. And that's a great paying job anywhere in Wisconsin, but up in that part of the state in particular, that would have been just tremendous. And it's sad and it's unfortunate that we're not going to create those jobs in Iron and Ashland counties.
We had a caller earlier in the program from Racine who wondered about the effect that politics played in all of this. And so I'll put the same question to you that I put to Carrie Schumann. I mean, it's hard to separate politics from policy these days in Wisconsin.
Well, I'm afraid that partisan politics did play a role in this. And, you know, I think I saw a press release yesterday from a group of five labor unions that had supported passage of the bill. And they were similar to our organization. They were expressing great frustration and disappointment with the vote to kill this bill. And their press release noted that this is an example of partisan politics winning the day in the state Senate. And that's really too bad, because I think that there were some Democrats who took the position that they'd rather give Governor Walker and Republicans a defeat on a major jobs bill than actually create jobs and lift people out of poverty in the North Woods. And that's some of the most sad, cynical, and disappointing partisan politics that I've ever seen in that building.
Is there any one of the, some, speaking of cynical, some people will say that the opposition was just an effort to prevent Governor Walker from having a victory ahead of a recall election. I mean, do you see the politics extending to that sort of thing?
I do. I think that, you know, you've got 17 people who voted no in the Senate, and perhaps each one of them have their reason for voting no. But I do believe that kind of anti-Governor Walker mentality permeated this vote. And I do think that Governor Walker was such a vocal supporter of creating these jobs that there were some Democrats who would rather have dealt him a defeat on this jobs legislation than pass the bill and get those jobs created.
What is wrong? I want to talk a little bit about the legislation itself. And in your estimation, what is wrong with the current mining permitting process as it exists in Wisconsin? I mean, the stuff that I've looked at has been on the books for quite some time, and so there have been opportunities, I imagine, to change it along the way. What's wrong with it now, and why hasn't it been changed before this?
Well, it has been changed. It was changed in 1998, and it was actually made worse. We enacted a mining moratorium in 1998. And we've only had one mine in the state permitted under our mining laws. And we've had none permitted since we put the moratorium in place 12 years ago. So the problem is that we've got laws that are biased against mining and that discourage investment in mining. And part of that discouragement is that the permitting process itself is just fraught with uncertainty and gray areas and hurdles, and in fact, not just regulatory hurdles, but legal hurdles, because Wisconsin's mining law is unique in that there are two lawsuits that are built into the permitting process that occur before you even get a yes or no on the permit. And so we really don't have a mining permitting process in Wisconsin as much as we have a litigation process. And you have to appreciate that mining companies don't want to invest tens of millions of dollars in which is what it costs to put a mining permit application together, for a process that is so open-ended and confusing and gray and unclear and uncertain. And, you know, it's not just WMC's opinion saying that. There's a group called the Fraser Institute, and they do a survey every single year of mining companies around the globe. And the results of that survey, and they look at all of the states and countries that have mining and mining regulation, and they rank them. And consistently, Wisconsin ranks among mining companies as the most hostile, worst place in the United States to do mining, and in the top five places, worst places in the world to do mining. And so you're never going to have mining and mining jobs in this state when that kind of attitude persists in the mining community. And we're never going to see these investments. And that's why it was so important that we passed legislation to change that dynamic and remove that uncertainty from our permitting process and remove that uncertainty from our regulations, so that we can get people's opinions turned around, so we can get mining companies, rather than looking at Wisconsin as sort of the regulatory black hole where nobody wants to go, get people thinking, hey, Wisconsin's a viable option. Let's think about going there. And that's what the bill was about. And unfortunately, we had 17 senators on Tuesday who said, no, we like the status quo. We want to preserve Wisconsin's reputation as, as the worst place in the country to do mining.
Scott Manley is with us this half hour, Director of Environmental and Energy Policy for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and we are talking about reaction this hour to the vote on the mining permitting process bill in the state Senate earlier this week. We'll be picking up the conversation and taking your calls after this short break. Wisconsin weather for today, it will be partly to mostly cloudy, and it will also be cooling off. Look for a chance of some light snow in the northern half of the state. Highs today in the mid-30s in the northern part of Wisconsin to the mid-40s down south. Tonight, decreasing clouds after midnight. Snow showers or flurries are possible in the northeastern half of the state this evening. Lows will be back down to about 5 in the northwest and the lower 20s in the south. Around Wisconsin right now, it's 18 degrees in Superior under partly cloudy skies. It's 23 and clear in Eau Claire. Wausau, it's 28 in overcast. Green Bay, 35 in overcast. Same in Appleton right now. In La Crosse, it's 27 and partly cloudy. Overcast and 34 in Madison. And in Milwaukee, it is 38 degrees under cloudy skies. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 8 o'clock, does the world need the U.S. to remain as an international force? I'll be talking with our guest at ROI. He thinks the U.S. has greatly shaped the modern world and many of its institutions, and why he says the country needs to remain as an international presence to maintain those institutions. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. This hour, the fallout from the vote in the state Senate earlier this week on proposal to change mine permitting rules here in Wisconsin. Earlier in the hour, we spoke with Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. This hour, Scott Manley is with us, Director of Environmental and Energy Policy for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Number of callers who would like to join in, so let's head to the phones right now, and we begin with Gary, who joins us from Wauwatosa. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's talk about uncertainties. I'm uncertain that the mine would have put John Smith, that worked at campgrounds in the summer, into the seat of a $5 million mining excavator. I'm uncertain that a truck driver delivering diesel fuel to the mine site is going to make $60,000. I'm uncertain that because bipartisan, not just Democrats and or Republicans, they both created the legislation that created the laws in Wisconsin. And when you look at how the DNR is overworked, undermanned, we cannot trust that we can't trust the DNR to enact that bill. Even you know, they just don't have the people. The EPA, the same thing. I'm involved.
Well, Gary, let's get a reaction from Scott Manley. We hear the uncertainty in some of the questions that Gary is asking, and he also claims DNR is understaffed the way it is, and how are they going to be able to adequately enforce what we already have?
Well, there's two issues there. Let's talk first about the wages for the workers. The $60,000 a year plus $20,000 in benefits would be for the mine workers themselves, which starts out at 700 jobs when the mine first opens up, and then ramps up to 1,400 jobs when the mine is fully operational. Those are also the projected wages for the 2,000 plus construction workers that would be there on the site to build the mine at the very beginning. And those wages are based off of the average wages in the iron mining market in Minnesota and Michigan. You know, we've got two mines in Michigan's Upper Peninsula mining iron ore, and five or six in Minnesota. So I think we've got a pretty good justification for those wages. I can't say what the wages for a truck driver would be who would be delivering diesel fuel or other goods to the mine, but I can tell you that the wage for there will be no wages for a truck driver delivering fuel to this mine, because the mine isn't going to happen now. So reasonable people can disagree or argue about what the wages would be or should be, but the sad thing is that nobody's going to be making any wages because 17 senators said no on Tuesday. On the issue of the DNR and whether or not they have staff, you know, they said they do. They said this bill gives them the tools they need to make sure that a mine is built and operated in an environmentally responsible way. I think at some point, you know, we have to put our faith in the regulators to do their jobs. But one thing to that point that this bill specifically addressed was this bill required the mining company to pay at their expense all of the costs that DNR would incur if they had to hire consultants, which is not unusual to prepare the environmental impact statement. And so if, for example, DNR needed to hire soil scientists or geologists or anyone else with a specialty related to mining permitting in order to review this, the company would have to reimburse the DNR for those costs. And, you know, we have every confidence that, that they would have had every resource that they need to review the permit.
We have a Facebook comment from Michael who writes, "Yeah, take your 700-plus jobs to Michigan. That's the right attitude from the left. Even private unions supported this bill because it would have meant jobs for their members." And I'm wondering, is it that simple in your mind, Scott Manley, that it's right versus left here?
Well, you hate to see issues being cast as right versus left when it's people's livelihoods that are on the line. And, you know, we would hope that well-paying jobs are a bipartisan issue. But the reality behind that comment is that there are other opportunities, and including Michigan. And this company wanted to invest in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin said no. But they can go to Michigan's Upper Peninsula, or they can go to Minnesota, or they can go to Canada, and there are ore deposits there, and they can invest in jobs in those areas. And I think the real sad part of this whole story is that because we had a no vote, this company's moving on, and we're not going to create these jobs in the North Woods, and Iron County is going to continue to see the population decline that they have for decades because young people aren't sticking around because there aren't jobs. They'll continue to have unacceptably high unemployment. And it's just very unfortunate because it didn't have to be that way. We've lost a huge opportunity to create jobs, and I think that that's sad and disappointing, and it's frustrating to see that we have Democrats and special interest groups applauding that and you know, patting themselves on the back and declaring victory. And it's hard for me to understand how somebody declares victory when we have prevented you know, many families in the North Woods from securing their economic future.
We've only got about a minute or so left, but I want to get your reaction. Governor Walker has indicated he may call a special session on mining. Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think this issue is dead?
I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I guess that's up to the governor. But I think that the Senate spoke loud and clear on Tuesday, and they sent the message that they're not interested in doing serious mining reform, and they're not serious about creating these jobs. And that message was heard loud and clear by the mining company. And they've already announced their plans to move on and not invest in Wisconsin. So I think at this point, you know, well-intentioned people want to see something get done here, but I'm afraid we've missed that opportunity, and that train has left the station, so to speak.
Scott Manley, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time. Scott Manley, Director of Environmental and Energy Policy for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And before that, thanks also to Carrie Schumann for joining us from the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. We've been talking about the fallout and future of mining in Wisconsin after that Senate vote on Tuesday. Bill Martin's produced this hour. Amanda Magnus provided us with on-air production. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.